Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dometic Interim Report Q1 2015. Today, I'm pleased to present Roger Johansson, President and CEO, Per-Arne Blomquist, CFO, and Erika Ståhl, Head of Group Business Control. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there'll be a short question and answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning, everybody. This is Roger Johansson speaking. We're here to report on 2015 Q1. So as always, you know, we're gonna lead you through our PowerPoint pitch that we've made, and we start with a summary on page two. Some highlights, we see in the quarter continued growth in all regions, which is good in an overall quarter that we're satisfied with, but it's clearly driven by good growth in all regions. RV market, our main engine, obviously, is doing quite well, and we're gonna talk more about that soon. We're most pleased with good change in result and earnings in EMEA, where we have, if not struggled, but at least we haven't seen changes in the past quarters here, so we're glad to see that. We have good growth continuing in Americas. We have a little bit softening margins in Asia, but overall, not alarming. So, you know, we think we have a decent result here. You're gonna see that we have quite some currency impact, both in transactions and in translation, and Per-Arne is gonna show more about that later on in the presentation. What we do is, you know, we have a strong focus on efficiencies. We need to continue to optimize cost structure. We need to remain competitive. We work on purchasing, we work on overhead in plants, and we have some programs to tighten up SG&A. We have made price adjustments, and you see some effect of that in the first quarter, but we should see more of that coming through in Q2, actually. We have good cash flow, and we finalized and closed the deal to divest the medical division in the quarter, which was high on our strategic agenda to get done. Medical was a good business, and for new buyer, for the new owners, this will become an excellent business. We're clear about that, but it didn't, this did not fit to what we want Dometic to be long term. We move to page three, looking at the trading momentum year-to-date March. You see that sales is strong. Sales is the fuel. And you also see now on paper the Atwood effects. We discussed that in the quarter four call, as you recall, but here we have it on paper. Obviously, a very strong growth, but not only because of the Atwood acquisition. You see 22% excluding Atwood and without currency effects on comparable currencies, we're 9% up. So again, good top line effect in the quarter. Looking at the earnings, same there, 47% up and 26% on comparable currencies. We show EBITDA this time. We might have mixed between EBIT and EBITDA, but here we show EBITDA probably going forward as well. Ex Atwood, 23% up, and then you see also the currency effect. We're 5% up on comparable currencies. And you see, normally we have a negative cash flow in quarter one, and we've managed to transform that into positive cash flow this year, which is good. A few words about margins. If you look on the EBITDA margins, they move slightly upwards from 14.9% to 15.3%. EBIT stays flat on 12.7%. That's at least you've seen we have had softening EBIT margins for a while, and at least we have stopped that trend, and we're gonna obviously focus on getting these upwards going forward here. Taking the market perspective, moving to page four, the U.S. RV market continues to show strength. Year to date,  97,000 units, up 8%, and on rolling 12, I don't know, there is some people moving papers on microphones. I don't know, maybe it is in Solna, I don't know. Rolling 12 months, 363,800, so that up, that is up 9%. The full year forecast remains as before. It is strong market in the U.S., and we see really no clouds on the mountain, on the skies over there. So we've said this for a long time, the U.S. RV market is strong. Moving to Europe, page five, registrations. It's a very pleasant quarter. I mean, year to date, it's up 11% through March, and rolling 12 is starting to move upwards then and up 4%, clearly driven by Germany, who had a strong quarter and an extremely strong March, actually. But also U.K. and France show strength, and then also the Nordic region. The Italian market is continuing to be extremely weak. It's a pity to see. This used to be a very strong RV market, but we'll see if it one day come back. What's driving the strong figures in Germany could be interesting is one is continuing extremely low interest rates, which is obviously good for this business. And secondly, in the industry, there is two new chassis that got launched, one from Fiat and one from Ford, and these are the two. I mean, Fiat is the market leader in chassis for motor homes, and they showed these during the autumn, and people they bought vehicles during the autumn here and now got them registered, and that is clearly impacting in a positive way these numbers, mainly in Germany. So this is good. Good fresh models coming into the market, which is also obviously good for us. So pleasant to see. We hope this stays through quarter two and also quarter three. Moving into page six, we see truck registrations. We continue to show these. I say all the time that it's not necessarily very important for us, but it's still good signs. And year to date, it's up 14, so it has taken a turn in March, which is good to see. Still negative on a rolling 12 basis. Boats in the U.S. up 9%, continue to be a solid market. You see there in the mid-segment, 30 to 40 feet boats, it's a good positive shift. And, we continue to have a strong position on these boats in the U.S. and increasingly also in other areas of the world. So we move in then to the regions and their performance in the quarter. We start with Americas. And you will probably be pleased to see that we now start to show the profitability in the regions. This is nothing that we have explicitly done. Obviously, we are semi-public here, and we think that we take this step by step forward to make us more and more transparent. We hope you like that as well. You can see on the highlights, I mentioned some of them. RV obviously increased both in the OE market and the aftermarket. Marines and stay strong. CPV is very small. Commercial and passenger vehicle is quite small for us over there. But, we're increasing our foothold there, and we have a plan to grow in the automotive area over there with trucks and car applications, SUV. Retail and lodging is also quite small for us over there, and we can all. It's very hard to make conclusions around those movements, but these are areas where we need to show more actions to really take big market shares, both in retail and in lodging. It's good if you get the traction on retail over there, but it's hard to get it. If you see the shift between aftermarket and OE, I think we showed this already. Showed pieces of this trend last quarter, but you see that OE is increasing and aftermarket decreasing purely by the fact that we have Atwood in these numbers, and Atwood is very much only or a small share of aftermarket. This was an OE company. So you see then on the right side, you see the sales and you see the EBIT margins, 10%. And you can also then draw the conclusions that what we said last quarter call was that Atwood came in. Atwood is a company that works on similar margins than we do, and this should confirm this. We had 11% in the Q1 last year. Move to page nine, talking about EMEA. RV, as I have said, was very strong also in this quarter, also in EMEA. Marine, we have some dynamics there with, we ship actually some units from U.S. into the European market. With a strong dollar, we see some ships going on there. We have manufacturing of air conditioning for both in U.S. and Europe, impacting here a little bit. We see both opportunities and risks with that. We might shift a little bit of production. Car and truck business has been good. No major moves in any direction. We have, however, seen currency effects having causes into our transactions. We take a lot of products produced in China into the aftermarket sector in Europe, And obviously, we need to price those effects, and that is what we have started to do, but we have not done it fully, and you see no full effects of that in this quarter. The split between the two channels is similar to what we've shown before. You can see that the margins then actually went up from 9 to 11. EMEA made a good quarter, and we're going to hopefully continue to see that trending stronger and stronger as we move forward. Going to Asia Pacific, a little bit of a disappointment for us this quarter. We had strong RV sales. We've done some shifts between how we manage marine business, but there's nothing to go into for this call. But we had, compared to a very strong quarter one last year with some extraordinary businesses and events, we have, of course, a decrease in margins here from 29 to 24. But again, that is more driven by the unusually high margins we had in Q1. We have also the negative impact from Chinese-built product going into Australian, mainly aftermarket, and we didn't manage to price those fully in the first quarter. So we're continuing to move pricing higher on the retail side in Australia as we speak. Mix, you can see there that aftermarket is going up a little bit versus OE. We are moving forward on our efforts to grow the non-OE business. We also want to grow the Chinese business. It's slow, but it is quarter by quarter will impact these numbers. If we go to page 11, we just show some trend charts where you also clearly will see the effects of the currencies. You see good upward moving trends in sales, in EBIT, and in cash flow. And EBIT margins is starting to move in the right direction. We're still, you know, we still want to see more positive effect on gross margins. We'll talk about that more going forward here. But all in all, good trends, and you see then the effects that currency has on our business. Page 12, this is just the trends based on sales in the different business areas. So you see also there actually good, positive, upward moving trends. So all in all, you know, a rather positive quarter. I'll hand over to Per Arne, our group CFO, who will talk a little bit more about cash flow and balance sheet and also making some conclusions on the earnings. So Per Arne, please.
Okay, we could move back to page 11 just to continue what Roger said, that we have had sort of a strong momentum on the underlying growth. If we look back a couple of quarters, we were in Q1 2014 close to 9% growth. We have been between 3 and 5% during the remainder of the year 2014, and now we're back to 9% again. And this is underlying growth, excluding the both Atwood acquisition and the currencies, and that I think is a good strength. If we look at the EBIT margin, we have some shift, as Roger has mentioned. We are at 13% in EBIT margin, excluding Atwood, which is better than last year. We are in line with last year when we include Atwood. But there is a shift, obviously stronger EMEA margins than we have seen in last year, and some weaknesses in America and Atwood. If we then move to page 12, what Roger said is that we will see good growth in these areas. It's actually 59% in reported, including acquisitions in the RV business, which is our main business, grow with 59%. It's 24 in the CPV and in the marine also 29. So overall, as Roger said, good momentum in that. However, it's also impacted by currencies. If we move into page 13, I will try to be very explicit about what is what. You can see that out of roughly 800 million in SEK that we are increasing in sales, 250 roughly is translation. We have acquisition of close to 430, but nearly 200 is also organic growth and underlying growth. You could also see that most of the impact comes from the dollar side. 168 million out of the 252 are actually from the dollar. Euro has a certain impact as well, but we are of course sensitive to what is happening in both the dollar and euro. And looking at the market today with the dollar-SEK at 8, I think it was 8.34, it was 8.80 two days ago, so the volatility is enormous right now. But we try to deal with that anyway. Moving into page 14, the net cash flow before financial items actually improved to 37, and I will go into the details around that later on. Our working capital has gone up quarter-on-quarter, but I would say basically the underlying working capital is more or less flattish. The growth of 500 million is actually connected to, I would say half of that is currencies and half of that is the addition of Atwood as well. So overall, quarter-on-quarter, comparing to the Q1 to Q1, we are pretty flattish. If we then take the working capital seen over a trend, you can see that we are down at the 21%. I think it's a pretty good number. We are working with this right now to perhaps improve it even more. But we should expect some kind of increases in the operating capital or working capital in the Q1 compared to Q4, which you can see on the graphics on the right-hand side, where we are more or less building up inventory now in the first quarter to make sure that we could have a decent sales season started. Coming back to the cash flow, if you look at page 15, it's positive, mainly driven by, I would say, a higher operating profit. It's 423 compared to 255, and that gives us a good improvement. And then if you add on the investments, which is in line with last year, 56 versus 52, I mean, you could see a good improvement. On the cash flow financing side, if you take page 16, we have had a strong quarter given that we got proceeds from the sales of medical. And also, even though we have paid sort of the interests during Q1, we still have a strong cash position now in the first quarter, where we have cash and cash equivalents of more than 1 billion. If we then turn down to page 17, you could see now that after increase in net debt after the acquisition of Atwood, we are now back after the proceeds also on 6.7 in net debt to EBIT. It's still a very high number, I would say, but I would expect this to improve over time given that the influence of the net or the EBITDA from Atwood will come through, and also that we also expect to have a pretty decent cash flow this year. So the expectation is actually to see the leverage go down during the year, given what we see right now. Roger, should you then continue on page 18?
Yes, thank you, Per-Arne. So on page 18, as always, we just show a couple of products that we have launched. Up to the left, we have a variable capacity chiller for marine, for boats. This is a unit that has gotten quite some good response in the market. It is a, not going into details, but it's a very efficient unit. It's a unit that can be used in all type of boats between 50 and 100 feet. And it has gotten, as I said, good response in the marine market as a very efficient unit. A small wine cellar for people not drinking so much wine is a 7-bottle compressor wine cellar that we have taken up mainly for Japan. That's how it started, but it also started to show some interest in other markets. In Japan, they like wine coolers and wine cellars. It's becoming very, very popular with wine there, and they obviously have small, in many cases, they have small apartments and stuff, and then they want this type of coolers or wine cellars. Then we have the Smart D control panel, which is a very interesting product, and we might see more coming out in this type of, in this field. This should clearly improve user interface for caravanning people. They have a lot of units that need control in one way or another, and they normally have a lot of different displays and controls to deal with, and here we have worked with, mainly we started the development with a company, Kobe, and a nice unit where you get a lot of functions into one control panel, and will, as I said, improve and make interface easier for users. Okay, so we conclude the presentation there, and as always, open up for any eventual questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. That's 01 to ask a question. There's no one in the queue. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 01.
It is, we're getting close to May 1, and we have probably had a very good presentation. So, Linda, if there are no one...
We have actually three questions registered. We got the first one from Max Lewis from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi there. My question was just about the divestment of medical. I was wondering if you might be able to give us some kind of information around what kind of valuation you feel could be feasible for that business. And secondly, on what the use of proceeds might be.
Could you say the second one, valuation, and I didn't hear the other one?
Use of proceeds.
Mm-hmm.
Use of sale proceeds.
I can also, yeah, we don't display and say what valuation was on the transaction. And Per-Arne, you can comment on how we're going to use the proceeds.
Yeah, we will basically use the proceeds for sort of decrease our debt side.
Okay, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you, Max. Okay.
Our next question comes from Mrs. Cecil Bauer from Brigade Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Roger. Great quarter. Look, one question that I have is maybe you could just give us some view on margins. Obviously, gross margins are still sort of suffering a little bit, although... you're making it up on the EBIT side. Can you just give us some idea of the types of measures that you're implementing? Secondly, if there are any products that are in the pipeline that you think will just sort of command a premium in terms of pricing?
Okay. Hi, Cecil. Well, it is, you know, the overall you can say that competition is not slowing off. So we need to be on our toes. We need to come up with competitive product. I mean, that's what it all comes down to. And we work mainly on getting product costs down. I mean, we work hard in new projects in getting specifications down into competitive, you know, competitive materials, competitive purchases for new products, and so on and so forth. Secondly, we work more intense in the plants, both in working with lean products and lean projects within the main plants, but we also work on overhead in the plants. And then these two things should clearly, you know, help GP going forward. But we also work on the revenue side, and we have been quite... How should I say? We have not been aggressive on pricing in the past 2-3 years in the RV, on the RV side. And the RV side is our biggest business, and we've had, as you know, we've had our operational issues. We've had we have not had a good basis for increasing prices to these customers, and we start to work ourselves into a situation where we are moving pricing also in the RV sector. And these two combined should strengthen GP going forward, because as you say, you know, it's one thing to improve EBIT margins, but fundamentally you need also to have to strengthen your gross margins. We have good gross margins, but we need to, you know, we need to work hard to keep them and to improve them. Okay.
And just the second question, more of a housekeeping question, but do you know what pro forma sort of last 12 month EBITDA is if you include the quarters 2 and 3 for Atwood, just so we can get the pro forma leverage as well.
What did you say? Did you say something about China, or
In terms of EBITDA, what would be pro forma EBITDA when you include the Atwood acquisition for, I believe it was Q2 and Q3 for last year, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, what we have done now, we have exposed sales, we've talked about margins, and we deliberately did not put the Atwood margins explicitly in the presentation. But I think that you can draw your conclusions.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question goes from Mr. Ralph Sequeira from Shinavari. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. Just a few follow-up questions. You were talking about in EMEA region potential price adjustments because of the weak euro in aftermarket sales and products which are manufactured in China. Are you alluding to some potential price reductions that would occur in the second quarter that we should basically take into account? Then the second question was in relation to your EBITDA margin. You alluded to 15.3%, which is what has reported. Is that a sustainable level that we should consider moving forward? And then the third question will be on the working capital. Given the 21%, that's a decline of 5% versus the fourth quarter position, and I think it's one of the lowest levels that I've seen as a percentage of sales for a long time. Is that also sustainable, and is basically a new metric that we should track from a working capital perspective? Thank you.
Okay. But first of all, you said price reductions. I think you meant price increases. What we've seen here is that we have a rather large manufacturing base, our sales in China, and we buy traded products from China that we sell in the aftermarket in Europe. And that is obviously some of these currencies are pegged to dollars, so we've seen dollar effect coming into our cost base, and that is what we're trying to price out into the market during Q1 and Q2. So I'm expecting to see in EMEA effects of that in our margins in Q2, and we've seen slight effects of it in Q1. Okay, so that those are the effects we're talking about. Secondly, the margins on 15.3. Obviously, it's our intention to strengthen our margins. I mean, these are rather good margins for the type of business we're in, to be quite honest with you. But we clearly have much more ambitious targets than this. And I will not give you what our target is, but as we've talked about the type of programs we run to strengthen our gross margins and also in SG&A, clearly our ambition is to be at these levels. You always have to consider the seasonality, but you guys know that you followed us for a while. So
yeah.
The first two quarters are the strongest quarters when it comes to margins, and that you always have to bear in mind.
Sorry, can I add after the working capital another question? You remember actually you providing any quantum for synergies arising from Atwood, given the complementarity in products and the greater scale you're going to have in terms of purchasing in the U.S. Is there any number that you can give us now that you're six months into the acquisition? So do you have any idea? And then the other question I had was with respect to the gross debt position in dollars. Has it increased versus because of the Atwood transaction? Do you have a greater proportion than 26% in dollars, and do you intend to hedge hedge the currency effect?
Okay. I come back then to, first of all, synergies. We have put the synergy initiative in place with a lot of people involved to take out what we can. Two very similar businesses, and we have started off very well. You know, we had a 100-day program with the different functions meeting and coming up with ideas, and we challenged them and we set targets and what have you, and then we set a new organization over there. I will not tell you how much that is, but it's good synergies. I mean, also that you're going to see reflected in the results going forward. There aren't that many synergies in this Q1 result, I can say, because it is, it is a little bit, but not a lot. And it takes some time, whether it's changing suppliers or whether it's doing things on the market. But you're going to see this coming up. I will not tell you a number what it is.
The dollar portion is roughly 38% right now, and I would guess that will increase over time. We will try to have a higher portion of dollar, given also that we are shifting more sales and balance sheet into dollar as well. Okay.
And the working capital position, sorry, the 21%?
The working capital, yeah, the working capital, I mean, we are roughly, you're right, we are on a pretty low level, and this is partly driven by that we have been pretty cautious on the working capital side, and at the same time we also have an increase of net sales, so it's, I think that 21 would be great to have over time, but I don't think that it's usually expected right now. I think that 23 to 24 might be sort of more to expect. But once again, coming back to what Roger said, we also have the seasonality. And sometimes we need to have a higher working capital to be able also to be prepared for sales.
Thank you very much.
A reminder, you, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions on the telephone.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, all of you, and thanks for your interest and continued interest in the Dometic Group, and I will talk to you after quarter two. Thank you, and have a nice afternoon. Bye-bye.